Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog, with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at CraigTOwens.com.
God ability. Our unique abilities are God-given. When we see an opportunity to use those abilities, the resulting God ability is a blessing to so many. This was a sermon I delivered as our church joined with Hillcrest Community Church for a combined service in the park. If you would like to watch the video of this message, or if you are interested in going deeper with some of the topics I cover here, please take a look at the show notes. Aren't you glad for his presence? It's with us wherever we go. We talked about last time we were here, wherever we are, that's where church is. Two of us just gathered together. God's right there in our midst. We're glad for that. Hey, you know, the last time that we were here, Pastor Caleb made an observation about me that I was the only person that he knew that put hot sauce on my eggs. And then we discovered that there was a lot of my other friends out here. But as I got to talk to some of you guys, some of you used a different kind of hot sauce than I did. And somebody even came up and shared with me about how they put Tabasco on their pizza, which is not really my thing, but all right. I said, you do you. That's not mine, but that's all right. But you know what I love about that? It's just a small sample, just a real kind of quick example of we're all unique people, right? We're all different. We have different taste buds when it comes to food, but we have different tastes in different things too, that we have different ways that we look at work and worship and music and movies and being outside versus being inside. Everybody's got their own different makeup because we're unique individuals. And you know, sometimes I get a little frustrated when I hear people that want to put a qualifier in front of the word unique, because unique by itself means one of a kind. So when somebody says, well, they're a very unique person, you don't have to say that. Once you say that they're unique, that means that there's nobody else like them. So you know that when you look in the mirror in the morning, what you're looking at is a once in all of eternity unique creation. There's never been anybody like you. There never will be anybody like you. There's never been anybody like you. And that is a really, really good thing. Because, you know, there's some things that I can do that some of you can't do. And I'm sure that there's a lot of things that you guys can do that I can't do. There's some ways that I see things and you see them differently. There's places that I have blind spots and you have 20/20 vision in those areas. So guess what happens when a bunch of unique, one-of-a-kind masterpiece creations get together? We start having less and less gaps, right? There are fewer things that we can't do. There are fewer blind spots that we have, because when we're all together, we're covering up all of those different areas. And that's why I think that it's fascinating, friends, that when you go through the Bible, you never find the word saint singular. It's always saints plural, because we need each other. I need you to bring out the saintliness in me, and you need me to bring that out of you. We need to all be together in this. One of the things that we get a little insight in Paul's letters is how many different people that he worked with. Almost every one of his letters mentions somebody. His letter might be right up front. He might say, here's the guys that are with me while I'm writing this letter to you. Or in the letter, he might name some people. Or at the end of the letter, he says, send some greetings to these people. But one of the things that I find interesting as well is we begin to cross-reference some of the historical records in the Bible and some of the letters that were written there, how Paul recognized the uniqueness even in those people that he worked with. Let me give you just two examples. Two guys that he knew very well, Timothy and Titus. Now, the letters that Paul writes to them are personal letters. They're personal correspondence. You know, like if he writes a letter to like our book of Galatians, that's just to all of the saints in all of the churches in all of Galatia, which was a big geographic area. But Timothy and Titus, when he writes letters to them, he just says, here's guys that are just
These are my friends. These are guys that I've mentored, and I'm just writing a personal letter to them. But I want you to notice some of the ways that he used them differently. When Paul wrote his letters to Corinth, he had some difficult topics to address with them. And he sent those letters with Titus. Now, we know Titus was very assured of himself. Didn't matter if there was a crowd that was all pulling him one direction. He'd say, nope, I don't have to go along with that. I can stand firm here. And Paul knew that that's what was needed for the church at Corinth. Because he said, not only is this letter going to be kind of a tough letter for you guys, but after you read the letter, after maybe Titus reads it out loud to you, you're going to have questions. You might want to like ball up your fists a little bit. I need somebody like Titus that's not going to be swayed by the crowd, that's going to stand there, and he's going to hold you accountable to what I just said. Later on, when Paul put Titus at a place to pastor a church, he put him on the island of Crete. Now, if you lived on Crete, you were a Cretan. Paul even quotes one of the poets, and he says, this is how the poets describe the Cretans. They're stubborn brutes. They're lazy. And he said, that's where Titus needs to be. Titus is tough enough to be able to handle them. What about Timothy on the other side? Timothy was the guy that Paul had to write in his letters to him to kind of don't let people push you around. Don't let people look down on you. You set the example for them. Don't get caught up in the arguments, the wives' tales, the little petty arguments. Don't get caught up in those things. I need you to rise above that. That's not the guy that he would want to send to Crete or to Corinth. But he was the guy that in what was probably his very last letter that he wrote, the book of 2 Timothy, he said, Timothy, here I am in prison, the end of a life that I'm probably facing my execution shortly. I want you here with me. Because Titus is going to be the guy that's going to come in and punch Paul in the arm and say, come on, buddy, let's go. Buck up here a little bit. Timothy's going to come in and say, Paul, let me give you a hug. Let me just sit here with you, put my arm around you, and bring comfort to you. And he knew that. But, you know, I think one of the things that I see about Timothy, too, is he liked to stay behind the scenes. He said, let me just take care of stuff that needs to be done, but I don't necessarily need to be out front. In Acts chapter 18, we read this account where Paul has come to Corinth, and he meets up with a couple of people there named Aquila and Priscilla. And I want you to notice what happens here. It says, I'm going to read from the opening verses of Acts chapter 18. Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them. Because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, Paul, when he first gets there, he did something that Pastor Caleb and I do. A lot of people still use this same phrase. They'll call it being a tent maker. Both of us pastor churches, but we both have tent making jobs. We have jobs that we work other times during the week. That's what happened to Paul when he first got there. It said that every Sabbath he was in the synagogue, but the rest of the time he was doing his tent making work. But did you hear what the phrase changed to? It said when Silas and Timothy showed up, Paul dedicated himself exclusively to preaching the gospel. When Silas and Timothy came in, they said, Paul, let us take care of this because you need to do what God has gifted you to do. And we want you to do it all the time, not just one day a week. We want you to be out there all the time. That's a part of the saints. See, even as dominating of a figure as the Apostle Paul is in the New Testament, he couldn't do it on his own. And he was wise to recognize the people that God had put around him, the other saints that had unique abilities and talents, and said, I'm going to place you where you can do the most impact for the kingdom of God. If we go to the Old Testament, I think one of the most dominant figures that opens the Bible is Moses. And Moses is still a guy that, as powerful as he is, he can't do it all himself. He finally realizes it in Exodus chapter 18 when his father-in-law comes and says, hey, Moses, can you explain to me? I've been watching you all day. Can you explain to me what's going on here? And Moses said, well, yeah, God speaks to me. God gives me wisdom. And the people that have disputes, they come and share their disputes, and then I give them God's judgment. And his father-in-law, Jethro, says, okay, but you know, you're wearing the people out, and you're wearing yourself out. There's people that stand in line all day long to get to see you, and sometimes the line is still there, but the day is over, and they got to wait now, spend the night, and come back. It's not good for you. We see something very similar in the New Testament. Remember, the church is birth. The New Testament church is birthed on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls. Peter preaches a sermon. 3,000 people give their lives to the Lord. At the end of Acts chapter 2, it said that every day God was adding people to the church. And when we get to Acts chapter 6, the word opens, that chapter opens this way. It says, in those days when the church was growing. But it's, and you say, well, that's good. It actually wasn't, because the next phrase tells us, and really the Greek language says it this way, in the days when the church should have been growing better than it was, it hit a bottleneck. There was some people that were getting fed, some widows that were getting food, but there were others that weren't. They were getting overlooked. And this is going to become a problem. This is going to explode the church from the inside right in its early days as it's getting started. But there's something very similar between what Moses learned back in Exodus chapter 18. And let me read the phrase for you that Jethro says to him. Jethro says this: here's my counsel to you, Moses. Here's what you should do, is that you should pick men that are qualified, men that have ability. And then he goes on and says, let me give you some of the other qualifications for them here. They should be people that love mercy and people that aren't going to accept bribes. You probably want that in a judge, right? So that's part of the being qualified. In Acts chapter 6, it's a very similar phrase when the 12 apostles say, okay, we're running into a problem here of getting the food out. We need you to choose 7 guys, and here's the phrase that they use, that are full of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. The word that's used there, the Greek word that's used there for wisdom, is the word Sophia. This is a great word. Have you ever heard the phrase, maybe you've even known somebody like this, they say, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Wouldn't it also be true somebody could be so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good? What the word Sophia means, though, that Greek word for wisdom, it means that people that are so heavenly minded, so empowered by the Holy Spirit, that what they do on earth is incredibly good. That's who they said to pick. So listen, Moses, back in Exodus chapter 18, qualified people that have an ability that God has given them. Release them to do their job. Release them to do what God has implanted in them to do. Same thing in Acts chapter 6. People that are full of the Spirit of God and have Sophia wisdom. They have a godly wisdom to know how to do this. I think that we can pretty reasonably assume that since there's a feeding problem here, that the 7 guys that they picked knew how to handle a feeding program. They knew they had some of the logistical skills to be able to organize this so that this could take place. We told you last time that we met together that we wanted to highlight a couple of ministries that our churches have helped spearhead and make everybody aware of it, because you're going to see things that I don't see. You're going to be able to do things that I can't do. And just like Moses couldn't do it all, just like those 12 apostles couldn't do it all, the more people that we bring around. Now I want to talk to you today about our hand-to-hand ministry, because I recognized very early on, I was the one that sort of voluntold our churches and our community that we really need to do this. And so as a result of that, I stepped into the role of of overseeing it, coordinating it. And I realized really quickly, I can't do this by myself. I got to have a lot of people around to help me with this. In the Cedar Springs community, about half of our families are eligible for free or reduced lunches, which means that about half of our families are pretty dependent on getting breakfast and lunch for their sons or daughters at school every day, which makes us wonder then what takes place on the weekend when they can't go to school and get that. And that's where Hand-to-Hand steps in, is to provide food to help those kids through the weekend. Now, we're not trying to feed a whole family. We're trying to feed one kid. So every family gets to sign up all of their kids, and every one of those kids brings home their own bag of food so they don't have to try to negotiate with the older brother or older sister for the stuff that you have in there. They get their own things. Now, there's plenty in there to share, and I think we end up feeding a good portion of the family as well, but we're focusing on each one of those kids. But God gives us the talents. He gives us the ability to be able to work in these areas. And everybody has a different ability. Some people have give ability. They say, God has blessed me. I've had good financial stewardship. I can financially give to help support a ministry like this. Some of you have shop ability. You can find the deals. And you like going to the store and picking out the stuff and bringing it back. Some of you have organize ability. You can kind of look at, okay, well, there's stacks over here and there's boxes here. And there's, how can we organize this so that it flows better and it's easier for everybody to operate in here? Some of you have move ability. You can pick up boxes and move them around. When the food gets delivered, sometimes it just gets delivered to the front door and we got to move it to the different places. Some of you might have deliver ability. And you can help deliver the food from our pantry to the various buildings where that's going to be distributed to the kids. But you know what really makes this thing work? In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, I realize Paul there is talking about specifically financial giving. But I like what he says there. He says that these people, before they gave money, they gave themselves first to the Lord. And then the rest of those two chapters are filled with words like eagerness and enthusiasm and cheerfulness. See, when your availability is combined with God's ability of the gift that he's given you, and we end up with a God ability in action, it doesn't feel like work, right? It doesn't feel like this is something I got to do. It feels a lot more like, praise God, this is something I get to do. Because you've given me the ability, and now it's met an opportunity, and I've made myself available, and now my God ability is working right there. Now, again, this isn't going to be for everybody. Just like Paul wasn't going to send Timothy to Corinth with a really tough letter, and he wasn't calling Titus to come and be his comfort when he was in jail, that not everybody is going to fit for this ministry. And this is not in any way, shape, or form. I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm. I'm not trying to guilt you into this. I just simply want to say, here's where the opportunities are. And if you feel like God has given you an ability in one of those areas, then you just have to say, God, I'm available to be used there. And then that God ability becomes an asset for all of us. So seriously, it could be something as easy as every time that you're at Meijer, you just pick up an extra box of granola bars, bring that to church, and we got delivery people, pickup people come around periodically and just pick it up from your church. Or you might say, you know what, I'm just going to put $5 in the offering every week. Just $5 will feed one kid. So I'll feed one kid. I'll put $5 in the offering. Or you say, you know what, I can show up couple times a year and help with this. I can show up every week and help with this. I could move something. I could, wherever you think that God has given you an ability, if you want to make yourself available, I'll talk to you about how we can plug that in. The more saints that we have, the lighter the load it is for everybody, and the more that we'll be able to bless this community. Last year, we sent out every week about 170 bags of food. It is a pretty major undertaking. We have a pretty good operation, but it still is, it's a heavy load for the handful of people that do it to carry. Love to have more people come alongside us. And so I'd be happy to talk to you about that later if when we're done here while we're eating lunch. If you got an idea, a suggestion, question, I'd be happy to talk to you about that. But maybe it's not hand-to-hand. Maybe it's somewhere else. What has God gifted you to do? What ability, what talent do you have? What do you see that others don't? What can you do that others can't do? Make that available to God and let that become a God ability that benefits the whole kingdom of God, lets Jesus be seen throughout this community. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for the talents, the abilities that you've given to us. Every one of us is a unique masterpiece created by you on purpose and for a purpose. It's not an accident either that you've placed us here in this Cedar Springs community. There are opportunities for our God-given abilities to be able to be used here. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to see where those opportunities are and to make ourselves available, to give ourselves first to you so that you can use those abilities to expand the kingdom of God. Help us to bring out the saintliness in other people as they bring it out of us. And as we do that, and as the body of Christ becomes a joyful, exciting place to be, may that shine as a bright testimony in this community to those that don't know you as their Lord and Savior yet, to say, that's the kind of community I'm looking for. Those are the kind of people, the kind of saints that I want to hang out with. Help us to be a living, breathing testimony as we use our abilities for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.